He was really so difficult, I never thought he would be saved. Very hard to talk to. But he finally got saved, and Mr. Cecil Kopp and I, we knelt down with him, and thank God the Lord had revealed Christ to his heart. So we're so thankful that we can have those from all different countries and races and people come together for the ministry and preaching of God's precious word. We do appreciate so many coming out night by night. Now I would like to read one verse in the Epistle to the Hebrews to introduce the subject this evening. As you know, we have covered 9 chapters, every chapter up until now, and we have come now to one of the most interesting and likely the least known part of the whole Bible. I've been a long time now, 54 years listening to ministry and preaching the gospel myself, and I have not heard anyone ever speak on the 11th chapter that we're going to speak about tomorrow evening, and also chapter 10 for tonight, which is not often mentioned amongst us. We'll read then in Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance or the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence, the test or the evidence of things not seen. Here we learn that faith assures us of the hope, and faith is the evidence of a world that we know very little about, things not seen. Now let us turn to the 10th chapter of Daniel. We're going to look at some of the things that are not seen, and that we only know by faith through the Word of God. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 1. In the 3rd year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel. And that thing that was revealed to him was the great warfare. And we're going to mention that each of these chapters presents the great warfare. In the 3rd year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 weeks, 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the 1st month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Adeko, or the Tigris, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man, clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man, or thou man, greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten or humble thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words, or for thy word's sake. For the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there, or I was not required there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou strengthenest me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia, or Greek, shall come. And I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael your prince. Also I in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. That verse belongs by right to chapter 10. It's a very unusual verse, as we're going to see. Now the Lord will bless to us the reading of his precious word. Things unseen can only be understood by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I have read this passage in chapter 10, and I trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of this interesting and unusual part of God's faithful word. I've often thought that this is one of the least known subjects that I'm going to speak about, and that is things that are taking place in the heavenlies today. Things that are unseen, and we can only understand by faith. The assurance of our hope is by faith, and the substance, the evidence of things not seen is by faith. We would know nothing about these things if we hadn't God's word, and we believe what God says. Now, Daniel here, in this beautiful passage of the Word of God, is in the third year of King Cyrus. That's an important thing, because in chapter 1 we saw that he would hold administration until the first year of Cyrus the king, the Persian monarch. This Persian monarch was raised up to send back a remnant from Babylon to rebuild Jerusalem. And it's 2 years now from they have left Babylon, 40,000 of them have gone back. But Daniel has heard that they have fallen upon difficult times. And so he was much concerned that that remnant would be encouraged to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and to set up the house of God, the place of worship, and that God's center might again be established in the earth. And so this chapter opens with the deep exercise of Daniel. Now I believe he was likely retired from his administrative position. This is the third year of Cyrus. So for 2 years, he's now a man of 92 years of age. And yet he retains the spiritual vigor, purpose of heart, and prayerful spirit that he had at the beginning of his life. What a wonderful life Daniel lived. And now at the age of 92, he's concerned for the young men that have gone back. And so we see him here for 21 days, for 3 weeks, we see him in prayer before his God. And not only in earnest prayer that they might be helped and that God's purposes through those young men that had gone back might be fulfilled, but he was also praying that the honor of God might be established again in the earth. And so he ate no food and he drank no wine. And we see him supplicating God on his face before the Lord. And what took place now is a magnificent thing. An angel of God. And this is the only place in our Bible where an angel is clearly described. I know there are those that believe that this man that appeared by the river Tigris, and it's interesting that the book of Genesis begins with the river Tigris, and it ends now the Old Testament with the river Tigris, Hiddekel, one of the rivers that went out from the presence of Eden, when the river divided into four heads, and the swiftly flowing river, the river Tigris was the swiftly flowing river, and here is Daniel in Persia by the river Tigris, when this angelic being appeared. Now I know there are some that believe that this is a theophany, that is an appearance of the Lord Jesus before he came into the world, but when we read this chapter clearly we find that this angel that came, he had been interrupted on his way to Daniel. And that's why we read here of the king of Persia, the king of Grecia, because these are not earthly kings. These are principalities and powers in the heavenly places. We remember reading that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power, the spirit of wickedness in high places, the wicked spirits that are in the environment around us. And you know, people don't speak much about the evil angels that are around. It's only by faith that I can understand that in the heavenly places there are evil angels, and their power is exerted over governments. That's why this evil angel is called the king of Persia, because he's instructed by Satan to guide the king of Persia wrongly. He's guided by Satan to lead him into all kinds of morass and political difficulties, till finally the king of Persia was slain by Alexander the Great. The last king of Persia was slain by Alexander the Great. Cyrus, although he was a monarch that befriended the Lord's people, yet other evil spirits influenced the king of Persia into war and death and disaster. And the king of Grecia here is also another evil spirit that had power over the monarchy of Greece. In this chapter, there are four angels behind the scenes. There are two evil angels, the king of Persia, the prince of Persia, and the prince of Greece. And then there are two good angels. This angel that is described here that interpreted things to Daniel and was sent with the scripture of truth, bearing it from heaven, the scroll for Daniel. You know, that's why these last three chapters are so important, because I will show thee what is noted in the scripture of truth, in the writings of God. These are writings that were sent by God in answer to the prayer of Daniel. They were sent by the hand of angelic beings to carry the scripture of truth to Daniel. And that those scriptures of truth that are in these last three chapters, the great warfare, as it's called, the scriptures of truth, noting three great warfares. Here it's the warfare of evil spirits in this chapter. And then it's the warfare of men, the king of the north and the king of the south, in the next chapter we're going to look at. And then in the last, it's the warfare of the Antichrist and the man of sin against the Jewish people, the great tribulation. The warfare is great. And it's interesting that satanic power would hinder that part of Daniel being ever written in the book by Daniel. It came in a scroll by an angel's hand, carried to Daniel. I will show thee what is written in the scriptures of truth. And the scriptures of truth here are the three chapters at the end of Daniel. And those chapters are opposed by Satan still. If you were to ask yourself, how many times have I heard 10, 11, and 12 of Daniel preach? It's as true as John 1, 2, and 3. And yet it's never read. In all my long experience, I've never listened to anyone opening up these chapters of divine truth to the people of God. Why is that? Because Satan opposes the truth that is in these three chapters. He has reason to oppose the truth that is in these three chapters. And as the days get darker, and as the coming of the Lord is nearer, he doesn't want the Christians to think that the powers of darkness are arrayed against the testimony. And the powers of darkness are goading men on into all kinds of intrigue and iniquity until at last the catastrophe will come and the Holocaust will burst upon the world. And so here is the scripture of truth. Now Daniel saw this angel. It is an angel, not the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus could never be interrupted coming in his presence amongst us. He's here tonight in the midst of his people. He's not here physically, but he's here personally. And that's why we should always use reverence and dignity when the company is gathered together around the Word of God. It's not a place for amusement. It's a solemn place to be. The Lord is here. No one can hinder the Lord coming into our midst from heaven to be in our midst this evening. But an angel can be hindered coming. An angel can be hindered by the evil spirits that are in the heavenly places. And there is a war going on above us that we know very little about. It's only by faith that I can understand the things that are unseen. Things that come to life when I believe what God has spoken. I suppose there's another person that is unseen and only faith can believe, and that is the person of the Holy Spirit. He is invisible. We have never seen him, and we shall never see him. We feel his energy. We see the outcome of his movement, but he's unseen to our eyes and unknown to us as to his movements. The Savior said, "The wind bloweth where it pleaseth, where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth." So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. No one can understand the workings of the Holy Spirit of God. We can see his activity and know his actions, but it's only faith that can see the things that are unseen. And we believe by faith in the person of the Holy Spirit, and we believe in his power and energy. So we believe that above us are evil angels, fallen angels. What a solemn thing that is. And so here is an angel that came, and he's described here in a wonderful way. You would read it when you go home. His loins were girded with the fine gold of Uphaz, his body like the beryl, his face as lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire. And so people connect it with Revelation 1, and they say, this is the Lord Jesus. No, this is an angel. This angel was hindered in coming with the answer to Daniel's prayer. He was hindered for the duration of the time that Daniel was supplicating, 21 days, hindered. But this angelic being here, in his beauty and in the glory that he's described in, gives me to see that if angels are so wondrous, we have never seen one, we'll never see an angel in this life. There are no angels appearing today, but an angel is a magnificent person, and magnificent one to see. And if God's angel is described here with such splendor, what is the Lord of angels like? Oh, how wonderful he must be. He's far beyond the expressions that are used here. And so this angel is coming with the answer. As soon as Daniel began to pray, his prayer had reached heaven. And he's God, the Lord, has sent the scroll, the scripture of truth, with the angelic hand. He's carrying it down to Daniel. But somewhere between heaven and earth, he was interrupted by the king of Persia, by the prince of the Persian nation. That prince did not want that scroll to ever reach earth. And under satanic power, he impeded the progress of this angel, the messenger angel that would bring the message to Daniel. And he said to Daniel, "It has taken me 3 weeks to arrive here. Your prayer was heard the day it was offered, but the answer is only coming now." You know, we wonder sometimes why our prayers are not answered. I know that we ask in unbelief, but many a time we ask in faith, nothing wavering, and we believe the answer should be given. It's interrupted. Evil spirits can interrupt the answer to prayer. I learned that lesson here. And so, Daniel, he doesn't get the answer to his prayer for 3 weeks because of an angel, a fallen angel. And that fallen angel battles with the angels of God in the heavenly places, going on today. Now, let us look a little further into this solemn passage of God's precious word. This would give rise to the question, what are angels? Where did they come from? You know, the history of angelic beings is one that fascinates my heart. This chapter has fascinated me for over 50 years, and the study of angels and the meaning of them and why they were created. There was a time in heaven when there were no angels. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit from all eternity. And that home where they dwelt from all eternity, it's an uncreated place where God has dwelt. Never had a beginning. We cannot understand it. But there was a time, we know not when it was, there was a time before the world began that God created angels. He created man as image and likeness. And we are the descendants by generation of the first man in the garden. But angels are not sexual beings. They don't produce anything. Every angel was created as an individual personality, different from man altogether. The numbers of them is innumerable. While Satan drew a third of heaven in his fall, a third of the angels fell, yet there are innumerable angels. Hebrews chapter 12 says we have come to an innumerable company of angels. Matthew 18 tells me that every child in the world has an angel. And in the world tonight there are 2 billion children. Every child is an angel. And every believer has an angel. And there are angels in Revelation that are fire angels, charge of fire. Others that are angels of the waters, an angel of the numbering. And there are so many angels. Among those angels, the unfallen angels, are two that are named. One is Michael. Some speak of the Lord Jesus as the archangel. There's only one archangel, Michael. And the other angel is Gabriel. I know that mythology has introduced many angels like Raphael and other angels, but the Bible only knows of two angels that are named, Michael and Gabriel. Now you think of heaven being filled with these wondrous beings. They're all different. Every one of them is different in character. And among them there are grades. There are cherubim. Usually cherubim angels are selected to guard the throne of God and the holiness of God. There are seraphim angels, and they have 6 wings. They cover their faces and their feet, and they're associated with the worship of Jehovah, as we see in Isaiah 6. There are principalities and powers and might and dominion. But all of them were created by the Lord Jesus. Colossians 1:19 tells us that by him all things were created, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities and powers. And so all these angels were gathered. Now, the angels are associated with great events. And the first time that we read much about them and what they were doing was at creation. When God created the earth and all that is therein and the heaven and the earth from his hand, Then there was a choir of angelic beings. And we read those lovely words, the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. There'll never be a choir like that again. Every angel, the fall has not taken place of angels here. All the sons of God, as they are called, sons from God, angelic beings, sang in one choir. And the leader of that choir was the Lord himself. There was a day when Satan and the Lord Jesus sang in the same choir. All the sons of God shouted for joy at creation. And the morning stars sang together. But angels never sang after that day. It's the only time they ever sang. In our Bible, we never read of angels singing ever again. Even in the book of the Revelation, in the day of glory, angels say. Even when he was born, angels said, but never sang. And so, after that wonderful gathering of all the angels in heaven, with Lucifer and Michael and Gabriel, and our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of angels, in the glory, sin came amongst angels. Before it ever entered into our fallen community, before it ever intruded in the garden, it intruded into the palace of the king. And angels sinned. The leader in the first rebellion was Satan himself. His glory was wondrous. He was the anointed cherub that covered. In Revelation, when we see the throne of God, we see four cherubim. There used to be five. The anointed cherub that covered. The sum of all beauty. He had been in the stones of fire. But pride entered his heart. And God cast him out of heaven. And he drew a third of the angels with him. His dreadful plunge from the glory above to become the leader of angelic beings that had fallen. Satan. You know, people today, they make light of Satan. Satan is a real being. He's the most powerful being in the heavens today. His power is tremendous. And those fallen angels became demons. They were not created as demons. But all around us are demon powers. I'm thankful they can do many things, but they can't separate us from the love of Christ. In Romans 8, the apostle said, "Who is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ?" And he goes over a list of 17 things. In the middle he says, "Shall angels." Those are fallen angels. They can cause believers to sin. They can blind the minds of the ungodly. The God of this age hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. They can goad men on to murder and lust and the God of this age hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. They can goad men on to murder and lust and sin of all kinds. They can engage in warfare and cause bloodshed and disaster. And there's some people tamper with angels. Never tamper with fallen angels. Flee as a plague from anything that is tainted with demonology, be it a Ouija board or cards or whatever it may be. Demonology is a reality today. The powers of darkness. And as the age grows to a close, the God of this age is going to his utmost power and energy to destroy man, to bring them down into the lake of fire forever. We used to sing when I was a boy, made me tremble, "Satan hath desired to have you for his lawful prey." And if you're unsaved tonight, you're under the power and dominion of Satan. And he'll lead you on down that broad road. And there's only one power can crush them. The power of the gospel. And the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The precious blood is the release from the bondage of sin and death. You're unconverted. May God open your eyes to see that Satan blinds the minds of them that believe not, that they might be damned and share his doom. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. God never intended men to go to that lake of fire. When these angels sinned, there was no salvation. God spared not the angels that sinned. Evidently, there was two rebellions. A rebellion that brought angels into the heavenly places to become demons. A rebellion that brought other angels into Tartarus, into hell, where they are bound in chains of darkness, never to be saved. They await the judgment of the great day. This chapter is dealing with things that are going on behind the scenes. Power of darkness. Now when I think of angels, the innumerable company of angels, and the glorious angels that are in heaven with the Lord Jesus, I think not only of the fall, and how cherubim were placed at the garden gate, and right through the Old Testament we have glimpses of angels. This book of Daniel tells me of God has sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth. And another angel walked in the fire with the three Hebrews we saw the other evening. The interference of angels for the preservation of God's people. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Hebrews 1, they are sent forth to be ministering spirits unto us who are the heirs of salvation. And when we come to the book of the Acts, we see the angels interested in the gospel, and they are still interested. That is, unfallen angels are interested in the gospel. The angel of the Lord said to Philip, go join thyself to this chariot. They're interested in soul winning. When I go out to win souls, I realize there are demons that will oppose me, but I realize there are angels that will assist me. In Acts chapter 10, a man was anxious in his own house, knew nothing about the gospel, but an angel guided him to invite Peter to come and preach the gospel. And when a soul is saved, angels rejoice. And when a believer dies, he is carried by the angels. Angels will attend us in the hour of death. They will be present wherever we die. Those of us who are saved, if the Lord be not come, loved ones will be there, but angels from heaven will be there when a believer is dying. Angels are interested in us and in the gospel, and they are interested, moreover, in the assembly. Because of the angels, the sisters have to have authority upon their head, the mark of authority being a head covering. Angels watch. Others rebelled against the government of God. Angels are looking upon believers. We are a spectacle, says the apostle in 1 Corinthians 4. We are a spectacle to angels. They watch the believer. And they learn from us. And they guide us. And they are interested in us. And they encourage us. Paul in the vessel in Acts 27, when the boat was about to go down, he said, the angel of the Lord hath spoken to him. God hath sent his angel. The angel brought Peter out of the prison, and in Acts 4 opened the prison doors to those early Christians. Angels are associated with the Lord's return. The voice of the archangel will be heard at the rapture. And when he comes, he's coming to earth with 10,000 times 10,000 of his holy ones. Angels will attend in majesty the arrival of the monarch, the Lord of the angels. Be interesting for me to speak about angels in connection with their Lord and our Lord. and I trust he will be your Lord Jesus Christ. Angels announced his birth. What a wonder that was to them, that the one who was their creator and whom they had worshipped let all the angels worship him. But now they announce his coming. An angel comes to the Virgin to announce the miracle of the virgin birth. Angels were associated with the doctrine of the virgin birth. Angels were associated with the announcement of his arrival at Bethlehem. And they said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. They announced yonder in the fields of Bethlehem the arrival of the shepherd. They watched in wonder that he lay in a manger, dark and bare, for our redemption. In Mark chapter 1 we read that he was in the desert, and his life angels were interested in him. He was in the desert, and the Bible says that Satan was there, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. In the garden in his sorrow, as he viewed and contemplated Calvary, an angel appeared from heaven, strengthening, and the word there is encouraging him. How did the angel encourage him? The angel encouraged him with the words of Psalm 102. You know, Psalm 102 is the Psalm of Gethsemane. Take me not away in the midst of my years. And the words of the Father are spoken into his ear. How were they spoken in his ear from Psalm 102? By the encouraging message of an angelic being that stood near him as he knelt that day in the garden. Angels were at Calvary. You say, I never heard it. Listen, there was over 72,000 angels that watched him on the cross. Thinkest thou not that I could ask my Father, and he would give me more than 12 legion of angels? But how then would the Scriptures be fulfilled? They watched him as he hung on that shameful tree. 1 million people were in Jerusalem at that Passover, the largest, Josephus says, that was ever known in the history of the Passover. But above them were 72,000 angels that descended from heaven, defense angels. They were angels of defense, but they were never called to rescue. They were called to rescue Daniel from the den and the Hebrews from the fire, but they weren't called to rescue him. How would the Scriptures be fulfilled? A woman came out in the morning. Another came to the tomb. And they entered in and they saw an angel at the head and at the feet where his body lay. Another angel sat upon the great stone that was rolled away. Angels witnessed the glorious empty tomb. Christ is risen. He is not here, they said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Their Lord had lain in that garden tomb. Angels at the resurrection. 40 days later, when he led them out to Bethany for the last time and went over the Mount of Olives, if you could find the place where his wounded feet with the nail prints of Calvary where the last stood, you would find the place where angelic hosts will attend him when he returns. He's coming. But angels watched as a little group moved over the brow of that Olivet and down the slope near Bethany, when he turned round and looked upon them and gazed upon them with love. He had appeared and disappeared. He had vanished from their sight, but he came back. But now he's going to show them, I'll not come back. This is the last you'll see of me. I'll not be back.
He's not here yet. He went away, but not to stay. He's coming back again. And they watched as he rose higher and higher. And the men of white were there. Who are the men of white? They're angels. Men of white stood there. He's going up. And they said, this same Jesus that's going up is coming back. He's returning. And when he comes, he's going to be arriving over the earth, maybe tonight. I'm absolutely sure that the coming of the Lord is imminent. There's no scripture to be fulfilled between us and the first part of his return. Don't look for prophetic happenings for the rapture. Men are building up, and as I go into bookstores, I find so much being written about the fact, and men are even setting dates. Now it's near the millennium. It's going to come very soon. It's true. But no one can arrive at the exact moment or time or year or day. And there's no prophecy to be fulfilled. We can look beyond it and see the setting up of the stage for the affairs that are in these chapters, the great warfare. Whenever the saints of this age are taken home, when the salt is gone, the apostasy will deepen. A new testimony different from ours, but saved by blood. Taken out of every country in the world, they won't need to learn a language. The Jew is found in every country. And the 144,000, wherever they are today, they're in darkness. But a new thing was done on the earth in the conversion of the apostle. Paul converted the apostle. Christ reached the apostle Paul. He got converted on the Damascus Road suddenly. And he said that in me first, the Lord would show the pattern of long-suffering to them that would hereafter believe. That is beyond the rapture. I'm a pattern of what's going to happen after the rapture. A great company will be saved as I was to bring the gospel to a world where the gospel has never been. Do you know a third of the world tonight, with all the equipment and media, a third of this world have never heard the Savior's name. After 2,000 years of gospel preaching, the church has failed in testimony. In this very city are men that never heard the story of the cross. I have met people. One of the greatest privileges I ever had in my life was to address 800 people that had never heard the Savior's name. And had never heard John 3:16 quoted once in their life. I count it one of the greatest honors I ever had in my life to stand there and tell them the story of Jesus, the wonderful Savior of men. These New Testament beyond the rapture, they will see more saved in their 7 years of testimony the church has seen in 2,000 years. That's a tremendous statement to make. I can prove it from the Bible. A great company that no man can number, out of every kindred and tribe and people and nation, coming up out of that great tribulation. Some have been martyred, but millions will live to enter into the everlasting kingdom on earth of our Lord Jesus Christ and to reign because of that faithful testimony that is yet to be. They will be soul winners, and God will do a great work.
in the midst of the darkest days the world has ever known, when Satan's power was manifested in Europe as never before, and in the Middle East, for there are many lands beyond the sea where Jewish refugees will come without a passport, and the door will open. You know what the Savior said? I was a stranger and you took me in. Receiving Jewish brethren didn't save them. But when they open the door and turn down the need of a passport and bring them in as immigrants and refugees, God will, through those men, win nations that have never heard the gospel to make the song of heaven sweeter in that glorious day. In all things, our Lord Jesus Christ will have the preeminence. May the Lord bless His word, shall we pray. Our God and Father, we realize, hushed in Thy presence, the reality of the days in which we live. The power of demonology, the power of Satan, the hidden battles going on that we have no knowledge of. We ourselves wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and the ruler of the darkness, the god of this world, the prince of the age, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We thank Thee that we have been delivered from the power of Satan. Paul said he was sent to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. We thank Thee for those of us who have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. We bless Thee that we know the Son of His love today, and we know the ministry of comforting angels that rejoiced at our conversion, that have ministered to us through Thy dealings with us and preserved us. Likely when we get to heaven, many of us, when we see the angel of His presence and when we see the angel that was sent to comfort us and guide us and preserve us, we'll bow in Thy presence and thank Thee for those ministering spirits that we know so little about. So we bow to thank Thee. And if any are here, and likely there are some held captive by Satan and led on at His will to hell, we pray to deliver them. And only one thing can deliver them. Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, who died upon the rugged tree and paid the penalty and rose again the third day, a living, glorious, loving Savior who never turned a soul away. Sins can be forgiven tonight. Help us all that we might, before we sleep, bow down and thank God we've been delivered from so great a death. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Number 256. Sweet is the savor of His name, who suffered in His people's stead. His portion here, reproach and shame. He liveth now. He once was dead. This is the second verse that's been before me all day today. He once was dead, the very same who sits on yonder throne above, who bears in heaven the greatest name, whom angels serve, whom angels love. I don't know who wrote this hymn. I searched many volumes to find the author. The author is unknown. But while we do not know His name, one of the things I want to ask in heaven is, where is the man that wrote this hymn? I want to meet him when I have time. It's a wonderful hymn. Who bears in heaven the greatest name, whom angels serve, whom angels love. His people shall His triumph share, with Him shall live and with Him reign. In heaven their joy is full, for there they see the Lamb for sinners slain. I hope that you'll all see the Lamb for sinners slain. Now shall we sing together verses 1 and 2 and the last verse. 1, 2, and 5 will stand in honor of Him.